teachings inside His Word. So we'll go through some of the basic elements and the things we require, even in these times. I'll say a few things. Now, in the practice of Christianity, and as new creatures in Christ Jesus, we have to understand certain things which will help us to understand our walk with God and with Holy Spirit in a greater dimension. One thing is that we know that Christ has done everything for us. We agree. We know all the blessings that God has given us and all the wonderful things He's done for us. And we've seen and we've talked about the new creature and how we've been blessed with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. I want us to understand that those truths are very true. They have been done, they are actualized, everything is finished. But those things are your positional truths. That means everything Christ has done, you are seated with Him, they are positional truths. Now, there's also something called conditional truths. You know, so there are positional truths, meaning that everything God has done and wrought in Christ concerning you is truth, right? But there's another realm where you have your condition. That means what is happening in your present state today. You know, so what the essence of it all really is, the Holy Spirit wants to use the Word of God to convert your positional truth to actually become your conditional truth. Let me explain that further. For example, you know that we are seated with Christ in heavenly places. You know that all things are yours. You know that by the stripes of Jesus you are healed. All those things are actually done already. But in condition, a man might still be experiencing degree of pain or sickness in his body. That's his condition. So the essence of the gospel really, or a man might be in debt, might be in having all those things in his life, but the essence of this truth already is to convert those realities, those positional truths into your condition. That's what the gospel is about. So God wants to do the things He has done in Christ inside you. The mistake we make is that we just think it's done in Christ. We just jump around and think that it automatically translates. There is a process. You have to take the truths of God's word through for it to manifest in your experience. Like Paul said, that the life also of Jesus might be manifest in my mortal flesh. There's a process. So let's not, so that we don't get frustrated with the practice of Christianity. God can come, by His grace and power to manifest His power in your life and bypass certain things. But on a daily practice, as a daily routine, there are certain things as a Christian we must practice to convert those positional truths to our conditional truths. And you can't do it by yourself. You don't have the power to fulfill. Only Christ can fulfill His life in you. Accept that. Only Jesus has the power to manifest His life in you. You don't have the power to do it. The arm of flesh will fail. You can try your own might and power. You will always fail. Only Jesus can do it. So let's understand that. And we'll talk about that very deeply. I believe that God is taking the church of Christ into deeper realms. Let's go to the scripture in 1 Peter, I think it is. To buttress this. And I will show you, by God's grace, how the Holy Spirit interacts with the Word and in our lives generally as Christians. 1 Peter, yeah. So positional truths. Chapter 1, verse 3. It says, "Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, which according to His abundant mercy has gotten us born again, or has begotten us again, into a lively hope by the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead." So we've been born again into a lively hope by the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead. I'll say something here, I'll just distract. We have to understand that when Christ died for us, he was substituted for us. That means He died for our sins. He paid the price. He took our place on the cross. There's something else that happened, that is substitution. There's also what we call identification, meaning that you also went with Christ to the cross and died with him and was buried with him and was raised up together with him, a new creature. It's not just substitution. You also went to the cross with him and died with him. Paul said it in Romans chapter 6, that we were buried with him by baptism unto death. Like as Christ was raised from the dead by the glory of the Father, we also should walk in newness of life. He says, if we have been planted together in the likeness of his death, we shall be also in the likeness of his resurrection. So understand that you didn't just take your place. You also went with him to the cross. You died with him. You were buried with him. And now you were raised up together with him. And positionally, you are made to sit together with Christ in heavenly places at the right hand side of God the Father. That is a fact. Now, let's go to 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 3. Let's understand that. It says, blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, which according to his abundant mercy has gotten us born again. We have received this new life and will be born again into a lively hope. What that tells me is that in a Christian, there is never a place where he's hopeless. He can never be hopeless because Christ Jesus has done everything and has paid the full price for his complete freedom and emancipation. So every situation a believer finds himself, there is always hope. He says, an ever living hope by the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead, to an inheritance incorruptible and undefiled that does not fade away. The Amplified puts it like this, to an inheritance which is beyond the reach of change and beyond the reach of decay. Satan will come and lie to people that your inheritance has passed. You have missed the time of your visitation. God is saying, no, this inheritance is incorruptible, is beyond the reach of change and beyond the reach of decay. He will come and tell you and whisper to you that it is too late now for you to start your ministry, that you have wasted so much time, you have missed that job. No, it's an inheritance that cannot be touched by man, that cannot be touched by Satan, that cannot be touched by circumstances, that cannot be touched by your mistakes and your errors. It is incorruptible, it is undefiled, and it cannot fade away. It is reserved in heaven for you. It now says, who are kept by the power of God through faith unto salvation, ready to be revealed in the last time. It says, wherein you rejoice. Now we're rejoicing. These are the truths. These are the things he has done for us. We are happy. We've gotten those things. We are rejoicing now. He said, now, though for a season, if need be, you are in heaviness through manifold temptations. That's the condition. Christ has done everything, he finished everything. But in the life of the person or the believer, he might not have seen the manifest presence. I'm talking about the manifest presence in his life as a person. He might still be working with an infirmity in his body. He might still be working with his bank account in the red. He might still be working with, infirmities and things, character flaws. Although he says that you have been perfect in him, you are complete in him. He says, how can I say I'm complete in him when these things are manifesting in my life? Let the believer understand that they're positional truths and they're conditional truths. That's why the Holy Spirit has come with the word to complete that which Christ has done inside us. Let's understand that. Let's understand that. You know, people get frustrated and get deceived by Satan. That look, how can you do this? Yeah, no. Let's understand that. Let's cooperate with the Spirit of God to transfer those positional truths to our actual condition. There's a process to it. There's a process to it. So let's understand that. So let us see now that the Spirit of God will help even us to transfer those things, even that he has wrought for us already in Christ Jesus, and completed on the inside of us. That's why he says, look, you receive the end of your faith, which is the salvation of your soul. Your soul has been saved. So the process is that God wants to transfer those things into you. Once it enters into your soul, it enters into your life. He says, you prosper and you are in health as your soul prospers. So it doesn't just happen automatically. There's a place for working out your salvation with fear and trembling. But the good thing, it is God that works in you both to will and to do. So that's what we're going into now. So let's understand that. So the trying of your faith, 7, being much more precious than of gold that perishes, though it be tried with fire, might be found unto praise and glory and honor at the appearing of Jesus Christ, whom having not seen ye love, in whom though now you see him not, yet believing, You rejoice with a joy unspeakable, full of glory, receiving the end of your faith, even the salvation of your souls. It says this salvation is what the prophets desired to see. No man was transformed in those times. Their souls were not saved. They had miracles on the outside, but there was no transformation on the inside of them. That's why Jesus comes and said, they don't know who are these people that would have imbibed the character and the culture and the nature of God so much that it permeates their entire being. That's what they were asking for. They said, who are these people? We're talking about manifestation. See, they're not concerned what happens on the outside. They're not concerned if you drive a Bentley to church or not. It doesn't concern them. They're not concerned if you have the most massive building on the earth. It doesn't concern them. What they're concerned is your advancement in the spirit, the advancement of your soul, the advancement of the things of God inside your being. That's what they know. They see it. They see it. So it doesn't matter if you drive a Bentley or you have the most massive house. The most important thing is, what shall it profit a man if he gets the whole world and loses his soul? Because that's the most precious thing. So the essence of Christianity is to transform the soul of man, to bring the man's spirit, soul, and eventually body under the influence and the lordship of Christ Jesus. That's it. So let's understand that. Let's not be distracted. Those things will manifest themselves naturally because I have the mind of Christ and I've imbibed the scripture that God has made all grace come to me. Wealth will naturally come to me effortlessly. But let's not mistake. Let's not mistake the fact that those things are there for the transformation of our souls. Let's understand that. It's very important. Let's understand how to walk with the Spirit of God in this thing. So it says, receiving the end of your faith, the salvation of your soul. So they inquired and they searched diligently that what is the Spirit of God talking about? Who are these people that will have imbibed the nature of God? Because that's what they see. The people in heaven, they see how far you make progress, you're making spiritually. They see how far the word of God is affecting your mind. We are seeing on the outside, but God looks at the inside and says, okay, two people might have the same thing. For example, two people might have the same job, but one has produced it by the Spirit and the other has produced it by the arm of flesh. They look the same. They look exactly the same on the outside. But what is important is, how did that thing come about? What is the transformation that took place on the inside of you? That's what God is saying. That's what Jesus told them. Look, you guys are coming because you have eaten bread. No. He said, you're not concerned about how the miracle was produced. Let's begin to go into the depth of Christianity and know how we walk with God. Because the most important thing, when you stand before the judgment seat of God, the works will be tried and will be tried with fire. And some will have, some will pass the test of time and some will not pass the test of time. So let's understand, let's reawaken ourselves to the real essence and the practice of truth. Let's understand this. So that's what he's saying. He said, now there's a way to bring about your positional truths into your conditional truths. What Jesus is saying is that I want to be involved with everything in your life. I want to be involved with how you run your family. I want to be involved with how you run your household, how you work in your office. I want to be involved in everything. I want you to go through the process of bringing me into your relationships, of bringing me into everything you are involved in. On a practical level, I want you to bring me and my spirit into the daily affairs of your life. And that's how I want you to be, so that you will now be a reflector and a transmitter of the very life of Christ. And you will show men that I am alive from the dead. So let's go further a bit and see. Let's go to the book of Ephesians, Second Corinthians chapter 4. Let's understand this, so that people do not get intimidated. People do not get distracted. The fact, wealth on the outside is not a measure of God's presence with you. One, God's presence with you will bring wealth. So let's understand this. Let's understand. I was listening to Hagin this morning. He was saying that it's not the massive external things you have really, but your faithfulness in what God has called you. If God has called a man to be a janitor, to be one cleaning the chairs in the church, and he is faithful at it, doing it with the energy of the Spirit inside his heart as unto God, and a man is coming to preach the gospel, and he sleeps all weekend, doesn't pray or read his Bible, and comes to preach, in the eyes of God, God reckons the other man better. And when he gets there, we have his reward, big mansions, and you see the other one being a doorkeeper. No. Let's be serious about this thing now. This is very serious. Let's understand that we are spirit beings. We operate in the spirit realm, and we are different species of beings, different from the world, and our standards and yardsticks are different from the world system. Fine, I know when God's life comes into a place, there has to be increase. There has to be growth and progress. But let's understand that it doesn't equate necessarily to growth, to the presence of God. The fact that there's increase, there's growth. Don't multinationals have growth? Don't nightclubs have growth? Let's understand that this thing is serious. Okay, 2 Corinthians chapter 4. 2 Corinthians chapter 4. So we know that there are truths, but now we might be in heaviness. The bills might be there waiting. This morning I woke up, I was getting ready for church. And on the dressing table, I'd finished praying, I was happy. Dressing table, I also one letter. HM Revenue and Customs. They said, records show that you owe us 1,000 something something. I said, it was, I think my employer made a mistake with my tax code or something years ago. So I saw this morning on the table. I said, so they didn't want to bring heaviness into my heart, you know. As the scripture says, now you might be in heaviness through manifold temptations. I said, Lord, I give you thanks because you made all grace come to me in abundance. So you have to, I want to show you, no, this is practice now. I'm not talking of theories now. I'm talking of practical issues, how to involve God in the practical issues of your life. That's why I'm bringing this out. I said, God has made all grace. Heaviness wants to come up. I said, I'm going to preach. I said, Father, I thank you because you made all grace come to me in abundance. I thank you because I have the resources to meet every need. I thank you because it is done. It has been paid in full in the name of Jesus. And I walked away. So it's practice. It's a practical thing. Christianity is practical. You cannot seclude God from the daily affairs of your life. You cannot. So, we might be in heaviness through manifold temptations. And what God is saying is that when those temptations come, what I want you to do is to take your focus off the conditional truth and focus on the positional truths. We're going to go step by step. Take your focus off the conditional truth. Like when that bill came, I looked at it, I would have said, oh no. But God is saying the positional truth says that all grace, or God has supplied all my needs according to his riches in glory by Christ Jesus. So that's what we should do. And I'll show you scripture. I think it's in 2 Peter. Is a teaching. We'll go slowly, step by step. 2 Peter chapter 1, verse 19. It says, we having also a more sure word of prophecy, whereunto you do well that you take heed unto, as a light that shines in a dark place, until the day dawns and the day star arises in your heart. The way God transmits the positional truths to our condition is through the word of God. The way God transmits those positional truths to our condition is through the word of God. That's why I say, I've given you exceeding great and precious promises so that by these promises you will be partakers or possessors of the positional truths and translate them into your condition. That's what he's saying. Partakers of the divine nature, having escaped the corruption that is in the world through law. So God is saying it is through his word, and it's not just the written word. It's not just the logos of the word. It is the word the Holy Spirit illuminates to you. The word the Holy Spirit brings to you and makes relevant to your situation. And the thing about it is that the more of the written word you know, when you are faced with a situation, the more room you give the Holy Spirit to operate and to bring out the word that you require for that situation. It's almost exact. I don't know how to explain it. The manifestations might be different, but the process is almost exact. If you get testimonies from different people, you find out that if you look at it critically, you find out that it was the same thing in a way they did in different ways. God is so exact. He wants people of different walks to be able to practice this truth. He's made it so simple that every single person, irrespective of your education or whatever your background is, you can practice truth. That's how he's made it. So he's almost exact with this thing. So as I was saying, so The prophecy, the word of God, is what transmits the positional truth and the knowledge of it to you as a person. And it's the Holy Spirit that gives you that truth, that makes it alive in you. That's why it's called the Spirit of Truth. So it's not just the logos, as it were. A certain scripture will fit in to that particular situation. I'll give you an example. He said, there was one time I fell down, so my knees were hurting so badly, I couldn't actually bend it. I went to meet an orthopedic surgeon. I spoke to him about it, and he said, I have to go for an MRI scan, and I'm going to have surgery, as in, they'll put keyhole surgery and try and repair the meniscus. I said, okay, no problem. So I went to God in prayer. I said, Father, I know by the stripes, I was confessing by the stripes of Jesus I'm healed. That's what I know. You start from what you know. I said, Father, Lord, open my eyes. I might see what the prophets have written regarding the situation I'm in. So that is, the prophets have written everything about your life, where you are in. If you're looking for, say, one time I was looking for a house. The word of God came to me and said, the house you're going to have is from help. No, the word of God has the answer to everything where you are right now. He has written about it. So I said, open my eyes that I might see what you have written in the book. So as I was praying, the scripture just came into my heart. The Holy Ghost just quickened it to me. I wouldn't have thought of it in that light. It says, every knee shall bow. I wouldn't have thought of it. So he said, every knee shall bow in the name of Jesus. So he said, speak to the knees and tell you to bow in the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus, you bow. And honestly, from that day, pain completely ceased. It was meniscal. I'm a doctor. I know what meniscal tear is. I couldn't bend my knee to my hip. I couldn't bend it. Both meniscals were torn. I knew it. And since that day, this man remembered. Since that day, the thing had gone. So there was a specific scripture that the Holy Ghost had created, had formed to fit my particular situation. That's what happened. And what I did with it was the next thing we'll talk about. So let's understand that. So it says, the prophecy came not in old time. Verse 20 says, knowing this, that no prophecy of the scripture is of any private interpretation. Now here, I'll say something. You see, when you are working with God, you have to be ready to hear what he wants to say. Not what you think he wants to say, or not what you want to hear. No, there's an aspect of surrender to faith. Let's understand this. You can't force your own will on God. If not, you introduce something else. Be ready, open up yourself to know, Father, like I said, Father, what would you have me do? I know that by the stripes I am healed. I know the scripture. I was confessing. I said, now open my eyes, Spirit of God, the Spirit of wisdom, and open my eyes to see that I might know exactly what to do in this situation. And he brought that scripture to me. No prophecy is of any, you cannot interpret it in your private way. It's not a private thing, but it has to be the Spirit of God interpret. That's why it says, how forcible are right words. When the Spirit reveals a particular scripture to you, you are made. You are made. That's why I was talking about the ultrasound that day. The ultrasound emits frequencies of waves that go into tissues and actually meets an organ and produces an image. I said the frequency of the ultrasound, right, will determine what you will see. So if I want to see the liver, I will adjust the frequency of the waves it emits so that I will have an image of the liver. If I want to see a baby in the womb, I will adjust the frequency. So the frequency of the things regarding the challenges of your life, the Holy Ghost knows. He knows the kind of frequencies that will meet any particular challenge. He knows whether it's going to be reproof, correction, instruction in righteousness. He knows it. He's the creator of the world. He's the creator of your own self. He knows everything about you. He knows the particular frequencies of the scripture. He knows what scripture to apply. He knows if you need to make an adjustment, he will tell you. Let's not try and force. He wants you to prosper. Relax. So let's go with him and submit to him. There's an element of surrender in faith. You know, we what boys want to impose sometimes. We say, we confess. No, there's an aspect of surrender. You go to him and say, I know the truth of the scripture, but I pray, open the eyes of my understanding that I might see what you have written in the volume of the book concerning me. Very important. And it doesn't take long. He opens it. He opens the eyes of you. So, knowing first that it's not of any private interpretation, he's written it concerning you. And the thing about it is that Satan is a liar. He tells people to be afraid that God will tell them to do something they don't want to do.
He tells them lies. He said lies, the father of lies. He said, he will tell me to do this. They are afraid of what God will say. No, it's the enemy that is lying to you. When God's will is revealed, you find out that it's good, it's acceptable, and it is perfect. You will find out that you love it. You will say, oh my God, I didn't know I like this thing as much as I do. So you understand that. So no prophecy of any private interpretation. And the prophecy has been written concerning that thing you are going through today. All God is saying that, ask me. Start from where you are. Begin to declare God's word, but ask him is very important for the spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of him. So that as you read the word, as you make your declarations, he will show you and he will personalize the scripture to your own particular situation you are going through. It has happened not once, not twice. I've seen it over and over and over again. One day I was going to Brussels and I had an expired visa. And when we got there, they said, you guys come here, you have not... Your visa is wrong. It's not valid. They put us in the room. They said, there's a mattress there. The mattress had no bed sheet. No, this was serious. You're going to sleep here tonight. You know, so I said, Lord, I give you thanks. Positional truth. I said, Lord, what are we going to do? But first of all, I declare that in the name of Jesus, I know. So if you don't know any truth, start with the general one. I will give you something to say. I know that this situation shall turn to my salvation. Start with the one that I know God always causes me to triumph in Christ Jesus. See, nothing will happen against the truth. Everything that will happen to you will cause you to triumph. So start with that. Say, I'm standing in a position, I don't know how, but victory is going to come out of this situation. That's what Paul said. So begin to declare those things. The first word you speak in any trial or tribulation will set the tone and the pace for you to go. Then when you finish declaring, I'm saying steps now. When you finish declaring, then open, you say, Father, open my eyes. I'm going to see, give me the spirit of wisdom and revelation. The truth about the matter, you don't know what to do. It's a fresh challenge. The fact that you used the word of God yesterday in that light regarding this thing does not mean the Holy Ghost will go through that path today. A fresh challenge, a fresh release of the spirit of wisdom and revelation. Understand that. It's a daily walk. Don't try and use this rhema for today. When manna has stayed for a while, it begins to stink. Make it daily. Give me this day my daily bread for each challenge. Give me this day my daily bread. The message of God are new every morning. Every fresh challenge. So I said, Lord, what shall we do? The scripture welled up within me. It said, that's why you should have a vast knowledge of scripture. It helps. I'm not saying it helps you. They said, the earth is the Lord and the fullness thereof, all and they that dwell therein. So I said, Father, I thank you. I began to say, the earth is the Lord and the fullness thereof, all that they, I'm not sleeping on this mattress today. I believe that God is involved in practical things. The earth is the Lord and the fullness, all and they that dwell therein. I looked at the time, the last plane had departed. I said, okay, the only option is either we sleep on this mattress there's no other option. So I said, I began to say, the earth is the Lord and the fullness thereof. I began to say it over and over to myself. I will pray in the Holy Ghost. I will say that, Father, I give you thanks because the earth is the Lord's and the fullness thereof. I would have said, oh, yeah, how did I forget it? I would have said all that. And I said, no. I will focus on the positional truths of God's word. It's a practical thing. Daily living with the Holy Spirit. You ask him, he reveals to you. He is there with you and is there in you. And is the spirit of truth to show you the truth of God's word regarding that situation, no matter how mundane it might seem to you. It's not only the big things, it's the minute things. How you relate to your family. How you relate to your wife. How you correct your children. How you relate at work. It's the minute things, the daily walk with him. When you begin to do that, you begin to be conscious of the fellowship of the Spirit of God. So I began to say that, and what happened, after some time, the guy came to meet me and said, what do you do? And that day I was leaving the house, I took my ID card, I said, I'm a doctor. He said, you're a doctor, okay, bring it, let me see your ID card. Took my passport. He went, after like 2 hours, he came back, he said, we don't normally do this, but they said, this was Sunday evening. Embassy has closed, they said I should give you visa for when I come back tomorrow, okay. Read the visa and give it to us. Come back tomorrow. So that is involving God in the practical affair. We carry too much burdens. We carry too much burden. We think that, no matter how minute it is. I heard one man of God, he said he was going to buy a t-shirt for a friend. He went to the shops and he looked. He couldn't find a t-shirt. He came back. He said that morning he was waking up. He said, pray to God, Father, direct. You see? practical. We think we want to do it ourselves. It's too mundane for God. No, nothing is too mundane for God. As long as it touches you, it touches him. He lives in you, so you're carrying him, so you should involve him in every affair of your life. So as I was saying, the word of God, the positional truths, and the conditional truths. So I said, one, start with what you know. When you are faced with a situation is speaking to you, answer back there. With the general scripture, you don't know the pattern of the spirit. See, I can't emphasize it. Answer back there. When they send the bill, look at it and answer it because he's speaking to you. You have to speak back. Then when you speak back, you generate, your heart is at peace. You now go to God, Father, open my eyes. I don't know what to do. I have the potential or the capacity to receive wisdom from you. In this one, I do not know what to do. Like Solomon said, open my eyes. Those guys have fought wars. Let us humble ourselves. David had fought wars. Is he going to inquire of the Lord? Shall I pursue or shall I wait? He had the military might to do that. But he went to inquire of the Lord. See, what shall I do in this matter? I've fought many wars. I understand the battle strategies. But this is a different one. What will I do in this situation? So inquire of the Lord. Ask him. And inquiring, I mean, ask for the spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of him. Ask him to open. And he doesn't waste time. See, look, he doesn't waste time. It is all that waste time. When you ask the spirit of God, he doesn't waste time. From experience, in a space of 24 hours, you have received that insight. That is his function. Jesus says he is the spirit of truth. He has come to unveil the things of mine and reveal them to you. Ask him for the mundane thing. Ask him, okay, show me what you want me to do in this matter. So when you get that truth, what do you do with it? Let's go to the book of Romans chapter 6. Start from one. So what shall we say then? Shall we continue in sin that grace may abound? It says, God forbid. It says, how shall we that are dead to sin live any longer therein? Know ye not that so many of us as were baptized into Jesus Christ were baptized into his death? I believe that this Romans chapter 6 verse 1 to 10, if any man is struggling with any habit, the answer is inside this place. Therefore, we are buried with him by baptism unto death, that like as Christ was raised up from the dead by the glory of the Father, that's the Spirit of God, we also should walk in the newness of life. He's saying the same way Christ was raised up from the dead by the glory of the Father, we also should walk in newness of life. Now said, if we have been planted together in the likeness of his death, we shall be also in the likeness of his resurrection. He now says, knowing this, that our old man is crucified, that the body of sin might be destroyed. So there's a certain knowledge, like I said, the Holy Spirit has to whisper that thing to you, show you inside the scriptures the thing that he has written. Everything starts with the written word. See, there's no voice anywhere that if a voice speaks to you that is contradictory to the word of God is our final and complete authority. We're not talking about voices saying whispering things to you. No, we're talking about the written word of God. He shows you a particular portion of scripture which is in the written word that fits your particular situation. He shows you, opens it up to you, and you see, oh, this looks like what I'm going through. Or this looks like, he shows you and it describes to you what you're going through. That's what the Holy Spirit comes to do. He now says, knowing this, that our old man is crucified with him, that the body of sin might be destroyed, that henceforth we should not serve sin. For he that is dead is freed from sin. Now, if we be dead with Christ, we believe that we shall also live with him. What he's saying here is that the same way Christ was, he died, he was buried, and he rose from the dead, we also should walk in newness of life. It means that when you're going through a situation, when something comes into your life that sort of contradicts what you are or your true position or identity in the Spirit in Christ Jesus, what he's saying is that the same way Christ went through the process of death, burial, and resurrection, and The same way that thing might look like death to you now, the same way the Spirit of God quickened him through that process, the same way he will quicken you through that process and cause you to come out of it. That's what he's saying. So we go on, he says that, for he that is dead is freed from sin. Now, if we be dead with Christ, we believe that we shall also live with him, knowing this, that death has no more dominion over him as he's been raised from the dead. For in that he died unto sin once and for all. And in that he liveth unto God. This is what you do now. He said, likewise, reckon ye also yourselves to be dead indeed unto sin, and alive unto God. Reckon. 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 There's no Christianity without the use of words. Reckon. See, there's no Christianity without the use of words. That's why I say man became another speaking spirit. That's why I say, look, the essence of the new covenant is that I want to write my laws with the use of your tongue. Say, reckon. That means use your words to reckon yourselves to be there. So take those scriptures, the knowledge he has given you, and begin to reckon it as done. Like I said, the earth is the Lord's. I got the scripture, and I began to say, the earth is the Lord's, and the fullness thereof, all and they that dwell therein. Reckon. You're not trying to make it happen. It's already done in Christ. You're just trying to transfer it from your position to your there's a process to this thing. There's a process to this thing. And let me tell you something. It is easier if a man has a lifestyle of prayer. It is easier if a man has a daily lifestyle of meditation on the word, Bible study, confession. All those things they keep you ready. So that when a curved ball or a circumstance is thrown at you, you have the facilities inside you. It is easier. You know, and the truth about the matter is that when it is time for a fulfillment of that thing in you, a circumstance comes your way. Because truth cannot be imbibed inside the soul if there's no need for it. So see every challenge as an opportunity to experience resurrection power. Because if there's no death, there's no need for it. Like a sound machine, it will just go into the tissues. If there's no organ in the system, it will just go through and it'll show a blank image. But when there's an organ or a structure that restricts its movement, an image is formed. See the challenge that comes your way as an opportunity to experience the transformation of God inside your soul. That is what challenges are there for. When people say that with every challenge, with every adversity, there's an opportunity, it's not just theory, it is the truth. But for that to be effective, let's go to Corinthians. Hold your place. So reckon. I'll show you some things. 2 Corinthians it is. Challenges are there to help you. Trials and tribulations arise because of the word. For the word's sake, to cause that thing to be crystallized on the inside of you. That's why he says, we're in heaviness through manifold temptations, that the trying of your faith, he says, count it all joy when you fall into diverse temptations, because the trying of your faith will work patience, and patience will have her perfect work, that you may be perfect and entire, wanting nothing. It makes you perfect. It makes you entire. But there's something that you have to do, something you have to have on the inside of you. That knowledge is indispensable. 2 Corinthians, let me just show you something. 2 Corinthians chapter 4. So wherefore, seeing we have this ministry, as we have received mercy, we faint not, but have renounced the hidden things of dishonesty, not walking in craftiness, nor handling the word of God deceitfully. But by manifestation of the truth, we commend ourselves to every man's conscience in the sight of God. See, if our gospel be hid, it is hid to them that are lost, in whom the God of this world has blinded the minds of them that believe not, lest the light of the glorious gospel of Christ, who is the image of God, should shine unto them. For we preach not ourselves, but Christ Jesus, and ourselves your servant for Jesus' sake. That's it. For God, who commanded that light to shine out of darkness, had shined in our heart. That's the knowledge we're talking about. To give the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ. This knowledge is just the Spirit of God opening the scripture to you, that you now see that this scripture actually looks like, it ministers to me. It feels like this looks like what I am going through. It fits my particular spirit. That's the light of knowledge. That is the treasure you have on the earth. That is what Jesus came to do. It says in him was life, and that life was the light of men. That is the light he has come to give. That light of the glorious gospel. That's why he says, take heed to that light as a light that shines in a dark place until the day dawn and the day star arises in your heart. That is the light he has come to do, to give you. So that light is the treasure. So when the challenge comes, the first thing to seek for is that light, because wisdom is the principal thing. You need that spirit of wisdom. You cannot do without the Holy Spirit. You might have the logos written, but Jesus says you have the scriptures. You search them, for in them you think you have eternal life, but you will not come to me that you might receive the actual substance of life that is inside the scriptures. So you go to God in prayer. He said, open my eyes. I want that light of the glorious gospel, who is the image of God, to shine upon me. And when that light comes, everything becomes irrelevant. He said, we are pressed on every side. That's the treasure. The light is the treasure. You need that treasure. People are going to face challenges without that light. They're going to face challenges with the ordinary, with the logos of God. You need that thing. You need the Holy Ghost to open your eyes to see it. When you see it, you're made. So he says, we have this treasure in earthen vessels, that the excellency of the power may be of God and not of us. You know, so we are troubled on every side. You're not distressed. We are perplexed, but not in despair. We are persecuted, but why is that? Why are they not forsaken? Because of the light, the knowledge they have. Let's understand that. That knowledge is now the foundation for which you will build on. That's why he told Peter, he says, upon this rock, which is the revelation, the light I've given you, I will build my church. Upon this rock, he will build your ministry. Upon this rock, he will build your marriage, your career, whatever you're looking for. You need that light. A daily prayer, please. After you have made the declarations, come to God. The spirit of wisdom and the revelation. I need it. I need you, Holy Spirit, to open my eyes. I know the written word, but I need to know the specific knowledge, the knowledge in the face of Jesus Christ. Cause it to shine upon. Wait there until you see it. It's important because that's your treasure. That's your treasure. And when you find that treasure, you sell all you have. You begin to reckon. You begin to declare it. You put it before your eyes. That's this. At every point in time as a Christian, there must be certain scriptures you are meditating on and pondering on, pending on what you are going through. It's a constant thing. The challenges are there to actually cause you to be perfect and entire, wanting nothing. Don't see them as your enemies. Rejoice and say, look, thank you, come, more. Another one, come. If he finishes and there's no challenge, create something. Oh, I'm serious. That is how God impacts his nature. You'd just be going, you'd be coasting. During the time you don't have a challenge, keep your confessions going. Keep your study of the word going. Keep your prayers going. Keep those basic practices of quiet time. We used to call it in Christianity, keep them going. It's important. Keep them going in a quiet time so that you have enough resistance to face the thing when it comes. Because it says when persecution, it didn't say if. When persecution arises for the word's sake, they were offended. So if that treasure is not there, you will still go through, but it will take more effort and more, you will need to call brethren. Please come and help me. Let's understand that. This is a practice. We're talking about practical Christianity. Practical Christianity. So you ask for that treasure and he gives it to you. Then what you do with that light is to take heed. We've talked about it over and over again. Is to begin to meditate on it. Is to begin to mutter it. Begin to confess it. Read the scriptures to yourself. That's your portion of scripture. You write it down. What you see, write down and begin to ponder it. It's your scripture. I have certain scriptures I write. Because of the targets I have and the challenges in my path, I have certain scriptures I read over. Those are my scriptures for this season. Because it's the word of God that gives birth to new seasons in your life. See, nothing else is born without the word. Every other thing will pass away. It's the word of God that gives birth to new seasons in your life as a person. So take heed to that thing. Let's go on. He says, we have in the same spirit of faith, 12, 13, as we have believed, therefore we speak. So that thing must be spoken. As you reckon, you speak those things. You declare those things. You are not trying to make God do anything. You are receiving the positional truth, and the Holy Ghost is cooperating with you to translate them into your actual condition. That's what's happening. It's a process that's going on that you might be perfect and entire, wanting nothing. He says, with that temptation, he will make a way of escape that you might be able to bear. He needs the temptation. He needs the challenge in your path. If not, you'll be coasting. You'll be at ease in Zion. He needs something in your path, either a goal you set for yourself or something you're working to. You cannot be idle. You cannot work without a challenge. You cannot. There must be something you are pushing for on the earth. There must be something you are reaching out for as a Christian. There must be something. If not, you will slip back. You will. There's no vacuum anywhere. You will slip. That's why the times that you are even prosperous are dangerous times. When everything's at ease, you take my soul, take ease and sleep. Let me eat as much as I want. Those are the most dangerous times. They say success is more difficult to manage. Because when you were struggling with things, you were reaching out to God. You were praying. But when the thing has come, you're not a big man. No, this is very, very serious. When men slept, the enemy came and sowed tares. See, wealth can be wiped out in a day. See, your career can be wiped out in a day. The only thing that has the potential, and the thing about it is that even if it is wiped out, and you're a man that is with the word, and you understand that the word can produce anything again, and again, and again, you will not be moved. But you need that light of the knowledge. To be honest with you, when that thing happens, your heart will shake. But that's why you go to God in prayer. You declare first, I'm repeating that step again, you have to answer. Then you go to God in prayer, open my eyes, I might see the thing that is written. I know right words are so forcible. So right words are fit, they are so forcible. Begin to do it in your closet. Nobody should know about it. Nobody might even know about it. Begin to do it in your closet. Begin to declare those things. So we have in the same spirit of faith, according as it is written, I believed, and therefore have I spoken. So begin to do that. Begin to reckon yourself. Begin to reckon. And Satan is the master deceiver. Let me tell you, he's a deceptive person. He deceives. This is where the battle is. He begins to show you things. And when you're believing for something, that's when they will come and tell you. See, I've seen it so many times that this thing must be organized by demonic spirits at high levels. Someone is believing God for healing. He brings someone with the same sickness. Someone is coming to talk about the same sickness that the person had died. Or you're believing God for a job. He said, on a particular company, you will see the enemy will arrange something in your environment and tell you that, look, people that went to that company, they didn't take anybody that is black. Oh. He's a master deceiver. He can organize the external. See, he can organize the external. You even think that, how come these things are happening? That's why we say, take heed to that word. Don't observe lying vanities. Satan is putting things in your path, lying vanities around you to deceive you and draw you from taking heed to that word. He says, take heed to that word as a light that shines in a dark place. That is your only focus, because everywhere is dark. It's only that light you are seeing. It's shining in a dark place until the day dawns and the day star arises in your heart. So focus on that word. That's what I'm saying. Look at it in the morning. Look at it in the afternoon. Look at it in the evening. Begin to repeat it to yourself. Make it your own. Begin to do it every day. The Holy Ghost will be showing you more light. Reckon that word. Meditate on it. Confess it to yourself. Declare it to yourself. Everywhere you're going, think about it. Write it down. I begin to take it in a sheet of paper. Begin to declare it daily. As you're walking on the street, remember that word. As you're going out, and anything that rises up against that thing, anything you see, you speak back. See, speak back. Don't take it sitting. Someone comes to talk about something, speak back. Then go back to your closet again and begin to go through that word. That is your treasure. Look at, sell all. He says he found treasure in a field. He went and he sold everything he had to buy that field. Begin to focus on that thing. Focus on that light. It begins to grow on the inside of you. A time will come where it becomes the most important influence. All those things that people are saying will not affect you anymore. They won't affect you anymore. The things that used to disturb you won't disturb you. You say, I've changed. I've actually changed. That's why I say you cannot do it by yourself. So he says, knowing that he that raised up Jesus Christ from the dead shall raise us up and present us with you. 17 says, for our light affliction, which is but for a moment. So see, from today on, see every affliction as an opportunity to receive that salvation of you, for that transformation to take place on the inside of you. See it like that. It says, that affliction is working for you. That affliction is working for you. That affliction is working for you. See it like that. It's working for you a far more exceeding and eternal weight of glory. While we look at the things which are seen, which are not seen, we look at the things which are seen, what are the things that are not saying? The things that are not saying are the scripture that he has given you. It's not vague. Focus on that thing. After some time, begin to show you some images, but focus on that thing. Look at the things that are not seen. For the things that are seen are temporal. The temporal things are the lying vanities, the symptoms, the things around you in your body. But the things which are not seen are eternal.
To be honest with you, in this process, there's a process of prayer that underpins everything. Like I said in the newsletter yesterday. 5 says, but we know. 2 Corinthians 5. There's no verse and chapter. If our earthly house of this tabernacle were dissolved, that means if our positional truth not confirmed with our conditional truth, we have a house in heaven. There's a positional truth we have regarding this situation. And we groan with that scripture. We're going to pray in the Holy Ghost. When I say groan, take the scripture, we're going to pray in the Holy Ghost. Declare it. In your closet, begin to pray in the spirit. Spend half an hour praying the spirit over it. Praying the spirit over that scripture. Then stop again and declare it again. Then pray in the Holy Ghost over that scripture. This is practical. What is practical? But I give you thanks and I give you praise. Pray in the spirit over it. Declare that scripture. Pray in the spirit over it. Even if it's 10 minutes, pray in the spirit over it and declare that scripture, knowing that you are not trying to make it happen. It has already happened. You're only receiving the end of your faith, the salvation of your soul. God has done it all. We're transferring the conditional truth and the challenge has come now. I say, wow, this is an opportunity for me to actually experience that thing. Someone shouts at me, I have a problem with anger. And I'm saying, I'm love, I'm patient and kind in my clothes. I've been confessing it. And an anger situation, someone just comes to me and begins to shout at me. That's an opportunity for me to practice that truth, for that thing to enter into my consciousness. I hold my peace. Oh, I react in anger. I go back to my clothes and say, Father, I'm sorry. I start again. No, there's no condemnation. But I thank you because there's no condemnation to me because I'm in Christ Jesus. Father, forgive me. I accept forgiveness. I'm cleansed by the blood. I start again. I do it again. It's growing. One day will come when they will throw those anger spells at me. And before I realize it, there's no anger in me. I didn't react the same way. The Spirit of God has done his work on the inside of me. So it is for every single thing. But there's a process of prayer that goes on in the place. It says, likewise, the Spirit helps our infirmities. We don't know what we should pray for us, but the Holy Ghost makes intercession for us. Paul says, my little children, of whom I travail in birth until Christ be formed in you. There's a travail of the Spirit that results in a formation of Christ in the believer. That's the practice of Christianity. There's no other practice anywhere. It's Christianity, and that's the practice of it. So let's go back to our closets. Go back to the Word. Find those scriptures. It's not when it says the Holy Ghost opens. It's not the things that minister to you personally. I say, okay, this is it. Start with what you know. He begins to show you more. Put that thing on your lips. Begin to confess it. Have time when you read that scripture every day. Pray in the Holy Ghost for half an hour or 10 minutes. Declare the scripture, going to pray in the Spirit. Declare the scripture again, pray in the Spirit. Declare the scripture, pray in the Spirit. Do that. Even if it's 10 minutes a day, go to work, come back. Go to work, go and sleep night and day, and the seed will spring forth, but you don't know how. It's not your business to know how God does it in the womb. You don't know how the babies grow in the womb. Do you know? You don't know. Keep on doing that, and let God work inside you, both to will and to do of his good pleasure. Father, we give you thanks. 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 We give you praise. Start with the little things so that when the big things come, you have enough residue on the inside of you. You'd have tested and see that the Lord is good in these little things. So when the big challenges come, you will snuff at them and say, look, the Lord that delivered me from the lion and the bear is able to deliver me from this Goliath. Who are you? Uncircumcised Philistine. I know the process of God. I know the things that God has done in my life. I know the things that make for my peace. But I give you thanks. As we break bread, some scriptures that God gave me yesterday, which I'm going to declare. Father, I give you thanks. I give you thanks. I give you thanks. So begin to involve God in the issues of your life. Anything you're reaching out for, you're pursuing. Ask him for the spirit of wisdom and revelation. Don't exclude him from the mundane things. It's important. In fact, this morning God rebuked me. I'm reaching out for a new job. And he asked me, he said, have you actually
asked me about this one. I said, I was thinking, I said, not really, I haven't. You know, we sort of were so confident in ourselves. And I said, remember in those days, when before you take one step, you'd have grown in the spirit, you have prayed, but now you're not a big man. I said, Father, I repent of it. So dependent on him and his spirit. You must not leave that child, you must never lose that as a Christian, that dependency on the Spirit of God. You don't know anything. You are a child on the earth. Solomon said, I don't know anything. I don't know my right from my left. I need you to help me, to show me in this situation what to do. In fact, God rebuked me. He said, I was going around meeting people. I said, go and see this person, God said, is that how you have been doing it with me? He told me, is that how you have been doing it? Is that how you have been doing it with me? Go back to what you know. So let's go back to those things. You know, let's not allow the prosperity God has given us to cloud and alter our walk with Him that we've known even from time past. That I will give you thanks. Isaiah chapter 40. I'll give you thanks. As we break bread, we'll declare the scriptures. I will declare the scriptures that you can break bread and have fellowship with the Spirit of God personally. Father, we give you thanks. I'll read the scripture and I'll make the declaration. It says, comfort ye, comfort ye, comfort ye, my people. Say unto, speak comfortably to Jerusalem and to the members of covenant Christians that I cry unto her and say unto her, her warfare is accomplished and her iniquity is pardoned. For she has received of the Lord's hand double for all her sins. I declare in the name of Jesus Christ that your warfare is accomplished. Every iniquity is pardoned by the blood of Jesus. I decree concerning everybody present here that you have received double for every single sin in the name of Jesus Christ. He said, the voice of him that cried in the wilderness, prepare ye the way of the Lord and make straight his path in the desert, a highway for the Lord. I decree into your life that every valley is exalted and every mountain and hill is made low in the name of Jesus Christ. Every crooked path is made straight and every rough place is made plain in the name of Jesus Christ. And the glory of the Lord is revealed in your life and all flesh shall see it manifest in your life in the name of Jesus Christ. Father, we give you thanks and we give you praise. There's another scripture God gave to me in Mark 11. Mark 11. Mark 11, Father, we give you thanks. Father, we give you praise. I'll read the scripture and the 11:15. It says, and they came to Jerusalem, and Jesus went into the temple and began to cast out them that sold and bought in the temple, and overthrew the tables of the money changers and the seats of them that sold doves, and would not suffer that any man should carry any vessel through the temple. So they were using the temple as a bypass. They were going through as a thoroughfare to go through from one side to the other. And he taught them, saying, is it not written, my house is called a house of prayer for all nations, and you have made it a den of thieves. So what God was showing me is that Satan has brought distractions into people's lives, even in this way, and he has come to steal the purpose and the intent of God for their lives by bringing several activities that are not even in the original plan. So Jesus said, I've come to overturn those tables, and I've come to stop any unnecessary activity that's going on in your life, any event and anything that's not part and parcel of my will for you. I stand as the shepherd and I stand at the door of your life and I block everything. Your life is no more a thoroughfare for unnecessary passage of things that are not intended by me for you. Therefore, I decree in the name of Jesus Christ that your life fulfills the purpose of God for it in the name of Jesus Christ. I say no unnecessary activity, no distraction takes root in your life in the name of Jesus Christ. I stop every wrong relationship, every wrong association, every wrong thing, the enemy and every bait that Satan is put in your path. I declare in the name of Jesus Christ, I decree that they are unveiled and they exposed in the name of Jesus Christ. The Holy Ghost guides you to discern even the true things that is and the true things that God has brought into your life in the name of Jesus Christ. Father, we give you thanks. We give you praise. Let's break bread as individuals and minister to God. Father, we give you praise. Thank you, Jesus.